In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. At the top of page 28, still on question 43 briefly, you see a little cartoon of the angel Raphael, who was a good angel sent by God to protect and help Tobias. And Tobias is there with a large fish and a little dog. The cartoon will not make much sense, but if you read chapters 5 through 12 of the book of Tobias, it'll make a lot of sense. Notice the way that the angel appears. He appears as a man, looks like one of us. St. Paul once said, "You have entertained angels and have not known of it." So angels do not appear as they really are before us, and this is a great grace. They are veiled like God, like the Master they serve. And this is a good thing, because if we were to see these creatures as they really are, we probably could not even stand the sight. Were not all the Blessed Virgin Mary, who was not surprised or bothered by the appearance of an angel, but certainly when St. John the Evangelist saw one, he fell down to the ground like one that was dead, because the appearance of the angel was terrifying to him. Number 44, what happened to the angels who did not remain faithful to God? The angels who did not remain faithful to God were cast into hell. And these are called bad angels or devils. By the way, the word hell, it comes from an old Anglo-Saxon word which means the place beneath. And there's another word called limbo, which means the place between. And there's another word, heaven, which means the place above. We have to talk a little bit more about hell, certainly, but in the meantime, just realize that hell was created for the fallen angels, the bad angels, or devils. Number 45. What is the chief way in which the bad angels try to harm us? The chief way in which the bad angels try to harm us is by tempting us to sin. And certainly, our Blessed Lord experienced this. He was like us in all things except sin. So indeed, he was tempted like any other person is tempted. But the way he dealt with the temptation was very different, of course, than we. He's up there on the roof of the Temple of Jerusalem. And if you would please read those passages there, the Gospel according to St. Matthew, chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. And according to St. Luke, chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. It's very important as we go along here that you do read these scripture passages. Regarding these temptations from which we must always fight, I need to talk about spiritual combat here. And the fighting is a different kind of fighting than you have ever done before. There's two kinds of temptations from which we must always flee. You have to run away. And for every other temptation, we have to stand and fight. So how do we flee and how do we fight? First, know that the word temptation means to test. It comes from the Latin. It's a test. And God permits it because that is how we grow in virtue. Especially the virtues of faith, hope, and charity. They get put to the test. We get stronger as a result of the test, even if we fall, because growth in the interior life especially means not just falling, but getting back up and trying again. That's the key. That's how we grow. So it means to test. And know that the devil can do nothing, not one thing, unless he has God's permission. So again, why would God allow this? Why would he allow us to be tempted so much? Again, so that we can grow in virtue. A virtue is a power or an ability to do something good. So that, for example, when we speak of the virtue of honesty, we mean we have an ability to tell the truth. Now, this ability needs to grow, however, and become perfected. So God will allow temptation for that perfection to take place, temptations to be dishonest. I need to speak more about that perfection later on. But for right now, please know that as St. Paul said, you must be perfect to enter the kingdom of heaven. And as there are 40 virtues in all, as St. Thomas Aquinas speaks about them, we have to have each one of them perfectly in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. And you might be saying at this point, oh, brother, that's, how can I possibly do that? Well, the answer is, on your own, you can't. But all things are possible with God. So, the two temptations from which we must always run away from, they are temptations against purity and temptations against faith. If an evil image, an impure image comes our way, it might be on the cover of a magazine, it might be an image on the internet, it might be a thought, something stirred up by our memory or our imagination, it might be the description of something that we read or someone tells to us in a bad or dirty joke. From these, all of these, we must run. There's no use of standing there gritting your teeth or making a fist, whitening your knuckles, trying to stay and look at the image. You've got to turn away. And you have to flee somewhere. You have to go somewhere. So in that case, to think about, say, our Blessed Lord or Our Lady, or on even a more natural level, to think about grandmother or your daughter or someone that you respect. It might not be a person at all. Maybe it's a place. To run to the Nativity, the site there of our Blessed Lord as a little baby boy, and hearing the angels sing and the shepherds and the wise men gathered around us. It might be a place, something so simple, if you like to snow ski or fly fish or water ski or hunt or ride horses or just going for a walk, thinking about a sunset, some place, but you've got to run. He who hesitates is lost. So that's purity. It's the same with faith. If you get tempted against the faith and begin to really doubt certain things about the faith, you've got to run. You have to solve it. And in that case, you run to the catechism. You run to a good parish priest. You run to one of your godparents, say, godmother, godfather, who was solid in the faith, and lay this before them and get it solved. Now, every other temptation, we have to return fire. We have to fight back. So how do we do that? Well, as St. Gregory the Great once said, if the enemy throws a dart at our soul, a spear, if you will, at our soul, and the very thought of committing a sin gives us pain, and we can thank God for that pain, then the spear of temptation will be reversed and go into the heart of the one that threw it, and that gives them pain, which is why devils flee from us in spiritual combat. So, again, let's say the enemy, the spear that he's going to throw is the idea of a lie. It comes before us, it's somewhat tempting, it's, oh gosh, if I tell this lie, I'll get out of this, or I will appear to be better in the eyes of this particular person I'm talking to. If at that moment it gives you pain, the very idea of lying gives you pain, and if you can thank God for that pain, then you will overcome every time the fight. Now you might be saying to yourself, well, but some of these sins, maybe lying or dishonesty or whatnot, sins of anger, they don't cause me pain. They don't give me pain. Well, ask for it. Pray to God that you might feel pain at these things. That is a prayer that he will answer every time. So notice, even the fighting here, standing and fighting, it really is, again, a turning to God, similar to the fleeing. To go to God, that is the key of the fighting. And beware of the principal attack. What is the enemy after? What does he want to use against you? It's to get you discouraged, disheartened, to get us to quit praying and go to God. Number 46. Do all temptations come from the bad angels? Well, some of them do. But other temptations come from ourselves, and then others from the persons and the things around us. Sometimes this is called in spiritual writings the tripartite enemy of the soul, which is the world, the flesh, and the devil. So some temptations, they come from us, from our very flesh, its fallen nature. And of course, the devil tries to insinuate himself into this and make it worse than it really is. But in 47, can we always resist temptations? Yes. We can always resist temptations because no temptation can force us into sin. And because God will always help us if we ask him. So there's the answer. If we ask him. So that when the temptation comes, the minute it comes, again, he who hesitates is lost. That's the time to fight it. Because sin has a certain momentum. It seems to get stronger. So, if at the very first of temptation we begin to fight, and it can be, you will discover, a rough, hard, difficult fight sometimes. Sometimes it isn't. Sometimes it's easy to turn away and to gain the victory. Other times you really have to fight. It's a dogfight. But God will always help us if we ask him. So, we can ask him by making a good sign of the cross. A temptation comes our way, we make the sign of the cross. Let's say we're in public and it's a little awkward to make it, or we don't want others to see us make it. Just make it a little tiny one over your heart with your thumb, say. Or just say interiorly, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, amen. So, with that being said, we're at the end of this particular lesson, and we're just about ready to start lesson 5. Well, in this lesson, try to acquire the habit of spiritual combat. That is, fleeing, running away from temptations against purity and temptations against the faith, and standing and fighting, which is essentially a turning to God. And for the prayer that you need to know, try to memorize the prayer to Saint Michael, the Archangel. Let us continue then with the 5th lesson, which is on the creation and the fall of man, and this is on page 31. Number 48, what is man? Man is a creature composed of body and soul and made to the image and likeness of God. You know, body and soul are supposed to go together. Most people are afraid of ghosts, and yes, we do think they exist in the Catholic Church, because there is something wrong with seeing a spirit that has no body. In the same way, we don't like looking at a body that has no spirit, has no soul. This is a crucial point. Atheists, especially if they are materialists, think there is no soul, but just material, chemicals, atoms, and whatnot. But we believe, no, definitely, there is a soul. There is a spirit to a person. We can even say about some people, his spirit is good. She has a good heart, a good spirit about her. This is common sense, and you know it to be true. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen.